From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Egypt's new leaders have taken a step toward improving relations with Palestinians. Despite opposition from Israel, Egypt has eased restrictions on the Rafah border crossing, the Gaza Strip's window on the outside world. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson is at the Rafah border. She says the move reverses a four-year policy that kept the crossing closed to many Palestinians.
Basically, Israel and Egypt, you know, with the cooperation or with the recognition of other international powers, they opted to seal off the borders after Hamas overran the Gaza Strip. It took over, basically, and forced Fatah out back in 2007. The feeling was that Hamas was not a legitimate authority to be running that strip, and so they were trying to sort of squeeze them, if you will. There were also security concerns that weapons would be moved across this border if it was, in fact, open.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reporting from the Rafah border. President Obama on the final leg of his trip to Europe. He's in Poland right now. The president is due back at the White House tonight, but he won't be there long. He's set to visit Joplin, Missouri tomorrow to try to comfort victims of last weekend's deadly tornado and reassure the community of federal help in its recovery. NPR's Jim Howard reports he'll be walking a tightrope of sorts.
When high-profile public officials visit the scene of major disasters, FEMA Director Craig Fugate tells NPR that it can be a delicate balance between interfering with rescue efforts
versus the reassurance to the community that a governor or a president brings when they come in, and just really, in many cases, just let people know that they understand they're there, you know, the country's behind them, and helps them, you know, realize that as bad as this is, you got the country pulling for you, you got the country coming in behind you to support this recovery.
Fugate says that even with the tight budget and weak economy, FEMA has the resources necessary to respond to such disasters. Jim Howard, NPR News, Washington.
Former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich is trying to shift the blame for an alleged shakedown scheme onto two of his closest former advisors. NPR's David Shaper has the latest from Blagojevich's political corruption retrial in Chicago.
Testifying in his own defense for a second day Friday, Blagojevich pointed fingers at two close friends who were within his tight inner circle. Blagojevich denies he was withholding his signature on a bill benefiting the horse racing industry in an attempt to extort a $100,000 campaign contribution from a racetrack owner. Instead, he testified one reason he was slow to sign the bill is that he suspected his late friend Chris Kelly may have been meddling in the racetrack legislation for his own benefit. Kelly raised money for Blagojevich, was convicted of tax and wire fraud, and killed himself in 2009 shortly before he was due to report to prison. Blagojevich also suggested his former chief of staff turned lobbyist Lon Monk was the one pressing the track owner for money. Monk testified against Blagojevich earlier in the trial. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
This is NPR News. The focus is on jobs today. Vice President Joe Biden is crediting the Obama administration's bailout of the auto industry with turning around the fortunes of the nation's automakers.
Because of what we did, the automobile industry is rising again. Manufacturing is coming back, and our economy is recovering and it's gaining traction.
Biden gave the weekly address today because President Obama is traveling in Europe. In the Republican address, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor said the GOP wants to boost employment by cutting taxes, reducing regulations, and completing trade agreements with other countries.
We'll increase competitiveness for American manufacturers. The more that businesses export, the more they produce. The more they produce, the more workers they need.
The Treasury Department is still charging China with holding down the value of its currency, but Steve Beckner of Market News International reports it remains unwilling to charge Beijing with currency manipulation.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has often alleged China is keeping its currency, the yuan, undervalued, and American firms complain this gives Chinese goods an unfair competitive advantage. But when it comes to actually accusing Beijing of manipulating the yuan under U.S. trade law, the Treasury is again pulling its punches. Explaining why, its semiannual report to Congress on exchange rate policies notes China has allowed some yuan appreciation since last June and promises to do more. But the Treasury adds that progress thus far is insufficient and that more rapid progress is needed, and it vows to closely monitor the yuan-dollar exchange rate. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington. Support.